Part of God's Family. Commentary for the January 7th, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. While operating a global ministry for several decades now, I am often approached by individuals who feel that because we have global ministry, we have an obligation to send them money so they too can start a ministry. When I point out to them that we ask for no donations for this ministry and operate on a shoestring by faith that has always been able to keep us operating and expanding, they tell me of their need for tens of thousands of dollars to have an effective ministry. I ask them if they think our ministry here at Stillwaters is effective, since it has reached them where they are. They admit the point, but then eventually and inevitably say, if you were Christian, you would send money. Some of these are ministers of other denominations, denominations that have refused their pleas for support. Begging is a numbers game, and doubtless they do find individuals who are willing and able to send them money. Those donors may even be blessed for doing so. But this demanding money is a little like Jesus going to the temple and demanding money from the temple treasury to get his ministry going. Not one verse in the Gospels shows Jesus asking for money to support his ministry. Here at Stillwaters Ministry, we make every effort to follow that model. This quarter, the Seventh-day Adventist denomination will be the one asking for money through the Sabbath School Quarterly. They begin by reminding us that we are family. But if we are family, we are a dysfunctional one. Two primary ethics guide our operations, nepotism and pay to play. The nepotism is evident in the path to the higher echelons of church leadership being highly influenced by dynastic connections that make it difficult for those without such connections to rise much beyond local leadership positions. As it is in the world, so it is in the church. Who you know or are related to can shape your entire denominational future. An immigrant teenager, pregnant with a baby out of wedlock, will find herself and her husband, should someone kindly offer her legitimacy through marriage, relegated to the common folk, beneath the ken of denominational royalty. Rather than mentor this family to leadership, it is easier to take that third, fourth, or fifth generation child who was raised through parochial school and knows all the right people, and open the doors to the towers of Adventism to them. This is even seen as a right by some who have done everything Adventist for their whole lives and therefore expect no less. But this is not the only barrier to common Adventists. Pay to play ensures that only the wealthy rise to the top. The more someone pays into the church coffers, the more the doors swing open for them. Those who have little understanding of real poverty encourage the common members to pay their tithe and offerings as an obligation to God, even though God has no use for money, as the psalmist declared in the opening verse. They assure those who give sacrificially that God will pour out a blessing to them in return. The implication is that they will be under a curse if they do not. Is this the same God that has impoverished the church so much that they need to ask for more money? Where is the denomination's blessing? Sadly, the common folk who trust in this teaching often see their children choose to leave the church, living a life of doing without, while the children of the church leaders have so much, tells a story that their parent chose the church over family, with the limited means at their disposal. They are the ones who were lucky to see anything under the Christmas tree, while other children came to church with their high-tech toys, smartphones, and computers newly received over the holidays. despite parental faithfulness in tithes and offerings, these children are not seeing the blessings promised. They feel like Cinderella, living with her stepmother and stepsisters, never really accepted, but still expected to play along. The parents, assured that if they raise their children up faithfully by sending them to parochial school they cannot afford, will see their children saved and do so. Then when the children are of age, they leave the faith without the parents understanding why the promise that they would never depart was not fulfilled, either in wealth or the faithfulness of their children. I've been sharing this from the perspective of my own denomination, but this is true for most other denominations as well. It was even true in Jesus' time for the priesthood in the temple. Even then, the high priest was chosen by the wealthy, usually the Roman governor of Syria. But the Romans understood nepotism well and typically chose someone in the Levitical line. It is understandable, therefore, why the religious leaders of that day were incensed that simple fisher folk called by Jesus would dare to usurp their authority. Although ordained by Christ, it did not fit their model of God's plan. According to that plan, as understood then and now, wealth is proof of God's blessing, and therefore the wealthy should run things. Jesus never endorsed such stratification. He called to ministry both common folk like Peter and John, as well as wealthy tax collectors like Matthew and Zacchaeus. This may have been the root behind some of the squabbling among the disciples over who should be first. Despite all of that, they found a way forward, and as Luke recorded in Acts, they shared everything in common. Modern Christians no longer adhere to this model. They are more enamored of the power obtained through wealth. Their lives are not lives of service, but lives of control that wealth affords them. Sharing that wealth is now considered a political statement in favor of socialism or communism. They ask for ever more contributions to the church, citing the Old Testament tithe and offerings in support of the Levitical priesthood and the temple. We are told a sanctuary is in heaven now. How do they get that money to heaven? And why do they even need it there? Instead, boards and committees of the elite decide what to do with the largesse. There's no more Levitical priesthood. It ended 2 millennia ago. Some might try to equate the modern pastor with the Levitical priest, but this is a denial of New Testament scripture, where all are ordained to the priesthood. Why then should one priest take the funds God has granted them and give them to another priest to support work he himself should be doing? It is very self-deceiving to believe we should be collecting money to send missionaries to Africa, for instance, when that money could fill dire needs in the United States, needs that are not even on the radar of wealthy church elites. And where would we send those missionaries? To Kenya, where there are already over 1,000 Adventist churches and well over 1 million members capable of doing that work. We have over 5 times the number of churches as Kenya, but only about the same membership. Comparing the populations of the North American division with that of Kenya, they have far greater penetration with the gospel than we do here. Who really needs the missionaries? But it is more exciting to visit exotic foreign locations than one's own backyard. But what about the tithe and offerings to support our work? In so many places, we have churches already built and are not even beginning to fill them. Why is that? We have an entire book written for us by Ellen White that can give insight. It is a book rarely mentioned even by rabid Ellen White quoters. Instead, we focus on books like Country Living that provide wealthy Adventists justification for a country estate. The book I am referring to is Welfare Ministry. If we were to follow the counsel in that book, instead of going looking for converts, they would come running to us. But I do not want to lay another spiritual burden on others. I only invite you to read the book and see what you think. But aren't we supposed to give means to God? According to my understanding of the parable of the sheep and goats, What is done for those in need is done for God. Those who spend a great deal of money to embark on a pastoral career with hope of advancement to the higher echelons of power within the denomination may be chagrined to see their means of support challenged in this way. But to them I say, they need not worry, as there will always be wealthy church members able to buy influence within the church. After all, those who are not paying tithe are not even considered for the position of local elder. So those positions will still be very much for sale for those willing to contribute. But for the rest, I say, do what you can with what you have to care for the poor and needy. And Christ has promised you will be among the sheep and not the goats. And do not neglect your families, as unbelievers do. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with footnotes, with scripture support and other links supporting the thoughts expressed in this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find hundreds of other commentaries and podcasts at that location. May God richly bless you and your families.